Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Don McLean with us, joins us twice a week. We talk to the general, the man in black down in Houston. John, how are you?
I'm in agony. I've been tortured by a beautiful woman, which I guess is better than an ugly man. I'm beginning my physical therapy today with my shoulder and arm replacement, and I am in agony.
Oh, and it's, you're battling through.
Drugs.
You're still doing the segments. Still doing
I
the
need
segments.
Drugs.
Paul knows a guy.
I know a guy no longer in position to use his drugs.
John, week three across the league. Let's start with Titans and Jags. How do you see this matchup going? We will know injury designations for the Titans coming up in about 25 minutes or so. But based on what you saw from the Titans last week, how do they match up with Jacksonville?
I think Jacksonville will get revenge for those two losses to the Titans last year. As we talked about Tuesday, I thought Mike Vrabel and his staff did a tremendous coaching job, and the players did a great job of executing to beat the Texans. But Jacksonville's just too talented. Blake Bortles coming off a really good game. You know, they're 4-0 without Leonard Fournette. I think right now, you know, I've always thought Patriots are the best team and Pittsburgh was second. And right now, even though Jacksonville beat the Patriots, and Jacksonville better get home field advantage, because if they go back up to Gillette, they could lose like they did last year. But I think the Jaguars are the second-best team in the AFC, and a little bit ahead of Kansas City.
John, last night, Baker Mayfield, he came back from 14 points down, the Browns did, to get their first win in the Mayfield era. And Hugh Jackson, I don't know how much trouble he was at this point in the season, but that's a much-needed win for everyone involved there in Cleveland. But specifically with Mayfield, what did you think of his overall performance?
Well, first of all, it's amazing to think that Texas Tech had Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield on the roster at one point together, along with Davis Webb, who was a third-round pick of the Giants. And I told my wife in the second quarter, I said, they're going to put in Mayfield at halftime, and he'll bring them back to win, and a star will be born. And then I had no idea Tyrod Taylor would get a concussion. He was awful up to that point. Anyway, and I saw people making fun of Hugh Jackson after the game because he wouldn't say Mayfield was the starter. And I'm thinking, you idiots, he's not going to tell the media that and then have them go tell Tyrod Taylor that he's been benched, or Tyrod Taylor see it on social media after he's looked at by the doctors. So I thought Hugh Jackson handled it as well as you could possibly handle it.
John, I want to ask you about Todd Haley in that game. I found it remarkable how every snap, it felt like there were at least two jets going completely unblocked into the backfield. And this continued even after Baker Mayfield was in the game. They never adjusted. I don't know what was going on, if it was a bad offensive line play or just no adjustment, but they never made them pay until Mayfield got in the game for sending extra guys every time.
And then also, Mayfield had to get rid of the ball really quick. Taylor never had a chance. And Cleveland has a pretty good offensive line, even though Joe Thomas retired at left tackle and they've had to make changes. I'm guessing the Jets were sending extra people and they couldn't figure it out. And I thought Mayfield just did a tremendous job of being decisive, knowing where he wanted to go with the ball a couple times. He just threw it away, which was so smart.
John, Atlanta hosts New Orleans in a nice NFC South matchup this week. Atlanta banged up. They've got several players on IR, mainly on defense. Devontae Freeman has a bad knee. Julio Jones with a bad calf. But many people are expecting a shootout because New Orleans can't run the football, and they expect both Matt Ryan and Drew Brees to air it out.
I think I predicted that game, Jonathan, 34-31 Atlanta. I think the quarterbacks will light it up. The Saints need Mark Ingram back. They need that defense to turn around. I believe New Orleans was 0-2 last year. and came back with a vengeance. I remember Minnesota, I think, was 2-2 last year. That's why I tell people, you know, you don't jump off the ledge after two games. Everybody down here wants Bill O'Brien fired, and a lot of them think Deshaun Watson was a flash in the pan. But, you know, it's just hard to get a read on that. But this game, despite the injury, should be one of the most exciting in the league.
What have you made of the Colts so far? Had a great shot against Cincinnati and blew a lead in the fourth quarter. Lost going away. They get the win last week. What do you think of this team so far?
I believe after the way they went in and won at Washington, what I had said before the season, as long as Luck is healthy, they're capable of beating just about anybody, and they will play a role in who wins the AFC South and who goes and doesn't go to the playoffs. Now, Luck has four touchdown passes and three interceptions in the two games. He's been victimized by some drops and some turnovers, but he is the least of their problems. And this is a big game, of course. It's a bad time to be playing at Philadelphia because you know how they'll go crazy getting back Carson Wentz. So I look for the Eagles to win it handily.
Chad mentioned the Bengals there as part of the Colts question. You think they're legit? That's been pretty two good weeks. And I think I remember you saying you picked them to win that division. No,
I didn't pick them to win the division. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I picked Pittsburgh. So, no, I'm not buying into Cincinnati after two games. And I'm not, you know, I'm still stunned the Steelers are where they are. But I believe Pittsburgh will bounce back, and I think it'll start Monday night.
You're buying into the Giants after two games? This is a big 0-2 battle this weekend that you're going to be at.
You know, I have gone over everything about their stats. They're not doing anything very well. They're the worst team in the league on first down, so they're always in a hole. You take away a 68-yard run by Saquon Barkley in that first game, and their average per carry and their yards per game is going to be the worst in the league. They're just struggling across the board, and I understand the right side of their offensive line is not any good, but like a lot of people are saying, what's the constant there? Eli Manning. Eli's got to take some of that blame.
Absolutely.
He has not been good at all. And how many times are they going to second guess not taking the quarterback with the options that they had? But Saquon Barkley's been fine.
Yeah. But so Baker Mayfield looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, but you're looking around at the quarterbacks, and you're also looking across town, across the city
Sam
with
Darnold
and what he's doing right now.
I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and they're going to have a chance to get another one this year. And I've seen a couple people say, experts say, oh, there's no quarterbacks this year. And I go back to 2 years ago, nobody heard of Trubisky. Nobody was talking about Patrick Mahomes as an NFL guy. People were saying Deshaun Watson was a guy who was mobile and a great college quarterback, but it took him forever to learn to play in the NFL. So right now, we don't know.
Hugh Jackson's approach to Baker Mayfield was a lot like Bill O'Brien's approach to Deshaun Watson last year. Why the reluctance from coach? Now, I think O'Brien's a good coach. I don't think Hugh Jackson is. But the two different school guys, both with the same thinking, that somehow scared of giving stuff to the new guy early, when the new guy pretty clearly was the better option in both instances pretty quickly.
Well, I can tell you from covering every play, Tom Savage outplayed Watson in the off-season program, in the preseason, in training camp, at the mini camp. And I think a lot of that, too, and they never said he was a starter. He was going to be the starter for the season, and they were going to sit Watson, I think, because Savage had paid his dues, and plus Watson made a lot of mistakes. And I think coming off a division title, let's see, did they win a division? Yeah, they were coming off a divisional title and a playoff win, and they didn't want to put a rookie quarterback out there from the get-go because he had so much to learn about playing in the NFL. And then when he came off the bench in the first game because of his mobility, Jacksonville had sacked Savage six times in the first half. And Watson got sacked four times in the second, but he looked okay. And then when they went with him to Cincinnati, they won in prime time, and he had a rushing touchdown. And the next game was a breakout game at New England. So those of us who watched that battle, you know, you don't generally start a rookie from the get-go when you reach the divisional round of the playoffs.
A couple of other matchups, John. Let's go to Detroit. Detroit is 0-2. Matt Patricia, not a great start there. And they are hosting New England and Bill Belichick. Your thoughts?
Seems like every week Bill's going up against one of his former proteges, and they should beat Matt Patricia decisively. I don't see the Patriots starting 1-2 with consecutive road losses, but if something happened to Detroit, upset them, then we'll all next week it'd be about the demise of Belichick and Brady's finally here. And we've seen them start slow before, but I think they'll bounce back and win the game handily.
And are you buying into all of the distractions inside the Pittsburgh locker room? They're 0-1-1, and they visit the red-hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They've got distractions on the field, off the field, and it's more not buying into the Bucs and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember that game he had 6 touchdowns against the Titans, then he came back and had a bad game? I just can't see him starting 3-0 beating New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. If he does, that's great, but I've got the Steelers bouncing back for their first victory.
John, what's your level of buy-in with Pat Mahomes on the spectrum of what we've seen in terms of expectations now for him?
Well, I don't see him throwing 80 touchdown passes, and I think this. I've watched him a lot at Texas Tech, watched him just carve up Baylor with 600-and-something yards. And at the time, everybody's saying, well, it's your typical Texas Tech system quarterback, and now with Mayfield, and even though Mayfield's best days were at Oklahoma, of course, but having him and Mahomes, I don't think people will be talking about that again. I think he has great offense. They did a tremendous job of putting talent around him. And I've watched the highlights when I've watched him. He's had a lot of time to throw. He can run. They like him to stay in the pocket, but he is really mobile. So I think it's a great story. He and Fitzpatrick, the rookie and the second-year quarterback and the old guy, I think it's just a tremendous success story. And I think the thing about the Browns, I saw last night, I think Gil Brandt tweeted it. It was the highest ratings at the end of a game in 3 years or 5 years. And I think the Browns would be a great story for the NFL this year. And I love watching Mahomes. And can you imagine the crowd, how they're going to go crazy when he's introduced before the game?
John, final thing for you. The 0-2 teams on the road this week, Buffalo at Minnesota, Oakland at Miami, and then the Giants are at Houston. Both teams, they're 0-2. But of those three road teams, is it actually Oakland that has the best shot at winning against Miami?
Well, after the way the Texans stunk it up in Nashville last week, I think they'd be capable of losing. I didn't pick them to lose to the Giants. And if they do, people want to run Bill O'Brien out of town. They already do for losing to Mike Vrabel and the Titans the way they did, getting out coached so bad. I think, let's see, Oakland at Miami. I haven't bought into Miami, but I knew Oakland was going to be bad. I guess so. At least they got a quarterback, Derek Carr. You know, they could use a pass rusher, but I guess it would be Oakland.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. They're just too talented. Offensively, to not look, they've got to throw to Amari Cooper. Stop using him as a decoy.
Imagine the Dolphins starting 3-0. I had this,
yeah,
I think, like 6-10. The Miami Dolphins, if they win, let's see, if they win and the Bucs win and Jacksonville beats the Titans, Florida will be 9-0.
How tone deaf is John Gruden to talk about how hard it is to find a good pass rusher?
It's real hard, and if you got one, you darn sure don't want to give him away.
John,
is that intentional now? Is he trolling? Or does he know how...
Feels like he's trolling.
Or does he know how dumb that sounds?
I don't think he knew it, or he wouldn't have said it.
John, thank you as always. Feel better, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday.
Guys, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.